Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
What's poppin', congregation? I hope y'all are wearing all white. Because, you know, today is a church holiday. It's a high holiday, if you will. You know, we have a pastor's anniversary that comes around once a year. But this is a special anniversary. This is 100 episodes of Scam Goddess. That's right, 100 episodes of scams, cons, robbery, and fraud. I know this sounds like an ad. It's not an ad. This is actually the introduction to the podcast. Guys, it's me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. And yes, I'm still raspy as hell, so I guess enjoy that if that's what you're into. Please stop tweeting it at me, though. Guys, I'm always what? I'm always very... Yes, very excited. But today I'm very particularly excited because this is a very good friend of mine. This is the homie. She's got a second season of her hilarious, amazing show coming out on BET 20s. Guys, give it up for JoJo Gibbs. Like, give it up in your car. Give it up for the 100th episode. Yes.
Ooh. Go Lacey. Go Scam Goddess.
I can't even do a Jamaican air horn because I told y'all like I lost my voice. It's coming back though. JoJo, how are you?
I'm amazing. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Wait, so how you've been on this podcast before?
I have. I'm sorry. I was distracted. I had to hide that countdown because it was giving me anxiety. I was like, oh my God, the numbers are just...
Oh, okay. So we record on Zoom, guys, and I keep track of the time. And sometimes I let it go and, you know, mess up all the segments. You guys know. But for the most part, I do try to keep it organized for you guys. But yeah, I guess if you had to look at that.
Well, it was the big screen in my Zoom view. So it was just like you and me were small and big numbers.
Oh, okay. One day anyway. We're going to talk about minimizing. We're going to go through a whole thing.
Yes. I did it. I figured it out.
Oh, my God. So wait. How's your relationship been since you first came on the podcast with scams? Like, how you...
Ooh, scams, man. I feel every day in my life, I feel like it's a scam. I'm just like, this is it, man. I love it. Like, God is good.
You feel like you're running the scam. So you're like, oh, this is okay.
Right. I was just like,
this is,
man,
what fraud is about.
They didn't say, they said work was going to be rough. And, you know, at times it is, but I really love what I do. And I think that's the biggest blessing. You know, I earned this scam. This wasn't an easy scam.
Right. Guys, let's get into it with JoJo. What's hot in fraud? This is where we warn our listeners about scams that are popping in the zeitgeist. And more often than not, we'll get a letter from one of you guys. So as always, snitch on your friends and family at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure that your scam is retired so we don't fuck up your bag. All right. Yes. JoJo, I need a fake name for this person today.
This person's name is Willa Jean.
Willa Jean. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Willa Jean.
Yes, Willa Jean.
Says, Lacey, longtime listener, first time mailing, but I've had a really shit day and I'm listening to your podcast to cheer me up and it's working. So I'm going to tell you a story about a scam my sister and I ran in high school.
So my sister worked at Sephora because she had a cosmetology license and it paid better than most places, but not really enough, hence the scam. She got some sort of discount, I think 10%, something, but not a lot. Okay. So basically, if you don't put some stuff out of order, Willie Jean, like, to read that.
Come on now, Willie Jean.
So basically what she's saying, Willie Jean is saying, is that her sister gets 10% off of products that have been opened and returned by customers.
Okay. That ain't enough.
Right. I'm like, it should just be free. Like,
I mean, no, because then you people will be opening stuff all the time.
Wow, you came. Wow, okay, Scrooge. Yeah. You wasn't gonna let him.
I'm a CEO. Okay, I don't trust nobody.
Said nah, because then y'all gonna start opening up themselves. Yeah, I feel like they should get better than 10. I feel like at least 50.
Yeah, at least 50.
Because I am taking a significant risk. Like, you come back in with some eyeliner, you know, I gotta put that on my eye. What's your? I don't know what you be doing with your eye.
That's just a personal choice that you make for yourself.
Y'all don't want to work for JoJo because she's the strictest boss. Like, JoJo, we need a lunch break. She's like, what are you talking about? You ate yesterday.
No, I definitely think everybody should get an hour because you need to decompress.
Right. Oh my gosh. So they would like get to see the products that had been bought, been opened, maybe tried and returned. So the store couldn't sell them again. Duh. So this is how they minimize the loss. Mm-hmm. Still not a great discount, though. But for products that we really needed, I would go and buy the product when my sister wasn't working. Then I would open the product and return it when my sister was working so that she could then buy it with her discount. Fuck Sephora and their jacked up prices. Also, my sister was able to give away unlimited trial products. So ask for those every time you go in and say you aren't sure how to react to your skin. And then get a bit of the product for free. Okay.
Girl, we all know about getting samples, honey.
We do. But hey, listen, you know, sometimes like people don't know, like behind the counter, like if you're just like, what samples do y'all have? They'll have extra samples. So not even the ones that you can buy with your points. Can you tell I go to Sephora way too much? I think I just made that very clear.
Yes. Yes. Sephora is a, you know, my partner, she goes there quite a lot too. She got a lot of points as well. So
yes, we love a point. Also, when you get points at Sephora, I'm pretty sure it's for like spending $1 a point. So then when you start to rake the points up and then you see the points, you'd be like, wait a minute. Is that thousands of points or thousands of dollars? That I had. But y'all do no bonus points or can't get double coupons. Okay. No. I mean, this is a pretty harmless scam, in my opinion.
Listen, first of all, she just proved my point, okay? She said they will intentionally buy items, open them, and then take them back, and then tell her sister to get it.
Okay. But you have to account for a certain amount of loss in large businesses anyway. So they was buying them, or they were like buying them, opening them, and then returning them. Like, that's a whole, like, you could do that even if you didn't work there.
But you ain't gonna get the 10% off. They just gonna have a lot. You don't want to encourage that type of behavior.
Okay, Dr. Evil. I love this for them. Sephora don't pay that well.
Oh, yeah, I love it for them. Yeah, no, 10% ain't even a lot. Like, that's the least they could do. You know, like, really, it should be like 25 at minimum. Yeah. You know, I feel like Sephora should at least give their employees, first of all, what is their discount? Do they not get a discount off rip?
So the employees do get a discount. So I think this is an extra 10% maybe off the discount.
Oh.
So maybe that's making it a little more cute.
See, now you're looking at things different, ain't you?
Man, JoJo, when did you become a bootlegger? Because I don't know when you became, now you full CEO.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
Next you gonna tell me you fiscally conservative? Wow.
I am.
What a transformation. Wow. Well, guys, we're gonna take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements. We'll be right back. Scams!
Close your eyes. Open your mind. And imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials. Aren't you all of a sudden Diane Keaton walking on a sand beach thinking about your life? Yes, you can get this kind of luxury with unbeatable prices at Quince because they're here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within your grasp, honey. They have 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops. Y'all know I have the silk tops. I actually just went back and got the washable silk slip dresses. I got one in red, I got one in cream, and I got one in black because I'm about to be out here stunting in my quiet luxury. Y'all know I love the sweatsuits. I actually went back and got the sweatsuit in blue and pink, and I got the shorts. They got shorts to match with the sweatsuit too, so when it's hot girl summer, I can have my thighs out, but my arms can be warm. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Hoochies never get cold. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/goddess for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/goddess to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/goddess.
If you're a person with titties, bras are so uncomfortable and constricting, and now we finally like have something that's changing. That Skims is changing. That Skims bras, they're worth the hype. They're amazing, the shape, the support that they give, but also they're, like I said, comfortable with you on your nipple. Okay. I love the Fits Everybody bra in Onyx, which is like the black one. Like that's normally like the clothes that I'm wearing and stuff. But like, I also really love the wireless form push-up plunge bra because, you know, you sometimes you gotta give a little cleave, a little titty, okay? You know what I mean? Make it cute. So shop Skims bras at skims.com. Now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46. H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Cut! And we're back with my favorite segment of this show, Historic Hoodwinks. This is where I will regale JoJo with a famous crime caper, maybe group of criminals. We don't know yet. Maybe we like them. Maybe we don't. We'll see. So 23 years ago, two men pulled off one of the biggest bank fraud schemes in history, all without a computer. Through know-how and little to no oversight from accountants or executives, John Ruffo and Edward Reiner were able to scam $350 million in loans from banks. Today, one of those men still holds a place on the top 15 most wanted list. We love to hear that. So in 1993, John Ruffo was running a small company in Midtown Manhattan that sold and serviced IBM computers. Wait, is this what this guy looks like?
Oh, let me see.
He's got... It's given 70s. It's given cocaine. It's 1993.
Oh. He looks like this actor I've seen before. He almost looks like he could be an actor.
Right.
I don't know. But
which I think with scammers, like, that works out pretty well if you look like... But also, like, I don't know. He has a very specific face.
It's the tinted glasses for me. That's what I love.
Yeah, his wife is a baddie, though, so he must have been making coin because his wife is way out of his league.
Way out of his... Oh, he was definitely making coin.
Yeah, right? That's the kind of wife you get when you got health insurance. So... This is in 1993, even though it looks like it's like in the 70s. Linda Ruffo's wife described him as the kind of person who would give a job opportunity to the most undesirable person because they really needed a job. He would really give money out of his pocket to someone on the street who needed it. So, I mean, that's very kind. Linda, are you trying to also tell us he's a sucker? Because I don't know. It didn't sound like... You know when people are like, this person's very benevolent and generous. Like, they'll say, like, they'll help anybody. The way she described it was, he would give any vagabond, he'd give any, like, despicable person a chance. Like, the way she described it doesn't make it sound like he's, like, a bleeding heart. It makes him sound like, I don't know.
I don't know. He just wants to say he's doing something. I don't know.
Well, she said the most undesirable person. So in my eyes, that doesn't necessarily mean like the worst job candidate. Like it kind of feels like she's saying like shady person.
Yeah, that's what I got from it. So maybe was he one of those people that's like, I'm gonna choose people like me?
Right. Like, maybe she knew he was involved in crime. She was like, everyone he always hired was sweaty as fuck. They were all constantly looking from side to side as if somebody was going. So she's saying it like he is hanging out with some shady people, or at least that's how it sounds to me. So all the time, Edward Reiner was recently laid off as an executive from Philip Morris, a tobacco and cigarette manufacturing company that sells products such as Marlboro. Reiner and Ruffo had previously worked together on jobs obtaining computers for the tobacco giants. So they would get IBM computers for the cigarette man, and that's how they became friends, these two dudes. Where Ruffo was subtle and relatively modest in demeanor, Rainey was flashy and boisterous and known for his red Jaguar. He'd drive around town. Could help himself. That's like if you go rob a bank and then immediately you go right to the Lamborghini
it's store. It's dumb. That's where that what they said and set it off, right? Like, hey, right. Hello. You know, that's where you go wrong every time.
But if you got, I don't know. If you're going to get the money, you can't floss a little bit. I got to wear New Balances and dad jeans for the rest of my life and just know that I'm rich inside. Like,
see, Lacey, that's why I could never, ever do a crime with you. Because you would be the weakest link. You would be the weakest
link. That's not true.
And then they would send us to separate prisons and I would sit there and mull over for 20 years how I wish I could whoop your ass for going to the Louis Vuitton store and buying up the motherfucking store with cash. This dumb bitch.
I'm buying shit that ain't even my size. Give me the men's too.
Listen, just buying shit. Just balling out. I can see you now.
Load it up. I have 12. Load it up. My box waiting out like a Sex in the City.
Police across the street taking pictures like, damn. she is popping. She got a show. But she just dropping dollars.
Yeah, this feels like a little too much. I don't think they're giving her that much over there on that Carly.
Nah.
In the crime, though, I feel like I would lay low, though. Like, I would lay low and then maybe I'd go ball out in another country. You know what I mean? Like, where they would have to really guess, like...
Well, that's when red flags, I think, really go off. I think what you got to do is have somebody else go buy it. Different people. I don't know. Then people be running their mouths. I don't know. It's just no way.
I love
how
you just called me the weakest link, but then you said, let's go get people involved who are not involved in the crime and rope them in and then we gotta explain to them. Next thing I know, we gotta do a murder. I ain't never signed up to do a murder. I just wanted to scam.
Listen, you gonna be the brains. I'm gonna be the bronze. But then you like the flex. You do. You like the floss. And I think that you just
don't
be...
Okay, you don't like to floss as well, just because yours is abs, girl, and mine is shoes, like...
I ain't gonna lie. Since I was a kid, I'd be that motherfucker that had the money piled up in my room. I just want to look at the money.
You were holding it up to your ear, making money phone calls. Hello?
I got a picture like that. I'm gonna send you one.
Oh my God, please!
But it was just for me. It was just for me. Matter of fact, no, I can't send it to you.
This was your self-care.
I'm gonna just have to show it to you on my phone. I'm gonna just have to show it to you on my phone because I can't never let nothing like that get out into the atmosphere.
And I immediately was thinking about posting it.
I know. Wow. See? That's why you can't trust.
Okay, well, you didn't say, you at that point didn't say it couldn't be for consumption. So, you know, y'all are just going to have to imagine JoJo with holding the money up to her ear like, hello?
You got picture me rolling. That's how you got it.
So the initial scheme, together, Ruffo and Reiners had wild investing plans to play the stock market and play like piles of cash. They thought they were going to make piles of cash on the stock market. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they didn't have a pile of cash to invest with. Yeah, that's a snafu when you're like, oh, we about to go to Wall Street. Okay, so did you bring the money?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Nah, I thought you brought the money. Oh, okay. Wow.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Like, when somebody says that's crazy, I pack up my shit and leave because I already know they have nothing else to offer me. That's crazy? All right, then. Where are the coats?
That's crazy. That's wild.
Oh, so we did need some money to get investments going. Okay, cool.
So
to get their money to find the investments, the men decided to target banks and convince them to give them large loans. Their solution was this. They would tell all the banks that they were leading an international research program on tobacco alternatives for Philip Morris. The project would require the purchase of hundreds of computers, the hiring of staff, 5 offshore locations, blah, blah, blah. It was just enough a bend of the truth and lies combining both their backgrounds backgrounds and resources that at face value, no one would question it, as long as the banks did not contact Philip Morris directly. Mm-hmm. So this is the 90s, right? So this is like when the computers were still like ghosts, right? Like it was mm-hmm. like it was green in there.
They were slow. They were moving slow.
It was like 110110, but yeah. you could see it on the screen.
Yes. Yes, I know.
So at this time, like, information moved so much slower. You know, like, communication is, and that was, like, advantageous to the scam because they're talking about, like, oh, we work for Philip Morris and, like, oh, you know, we do the hiring and the firing and the computer suppliering.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to need this loan and don't ask no questions. And, mm-hmm. like, by the time you ask questions, they could have already walked out of the bank with the cash.
Right. They go. But the thing is, it's just, I guess it is the 90s, but I consider, like, you going through so many, like, paper trails, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right. But at the same time, paper trails were literally paper.
True. Because the computer, so by the time they catch up.
Because the cloud is forever. Like, you got to go and look through the file cabinet and, you know, go to slot M and then open it up and then look through everybody else before you get to, like,
Before you put it all together. Dang, right. They were smart. But the problem was they should have just took the money and ran rather than...
Well, we'll see. We don't know if
okay,
they did.
Okay, yeah, my bad. It's more to the story.
I can't. Okay, so their men's first target was Signet Bank. During their pitch, Rayner required the bank to sign a confidentiality agreement that barred them from discussing the project with anyone else, including people at Philip Morris. So they were like, okay, before we tell y'all that we work at Philip Morris, y'all have to sign this confidentiality agreement because the business that we starting up is super confidential.
Wow.
So confidential that you can't ask no questions to the business that's associated with it.
Wow. You know what kind of confidence you got to pull up on them with to tell them?
Right. Also, like, none of this is ever ironclad. Like, I talked to my lawyer once about confidentiality agreements and NDAs, and she was like, the best way to keep a secret is to not tell anyone.
Truly, because people don't read that stuff.
It's also, like, people don't abide by it. It's not, like, ironclad. Like, everybody thinks, like, once you sign that, like, now it's against the law for you to talk about things, but it's not. Yeah. It's more of, like, I mean, y'all didn't hear this from me, but apparently there's ways around it.
It's just, like, a scare tactic, basically.
Yeah.
More or less. Mm.
So, hey. So they did all this. They told y'all can't tell nobody. We out here to pitch. Okay, cool. So Signet knew Rayner's from his previous work with them, and they had no idea that he no longer worked with the company, which helped minimize suspicion. So this guy used to come in all the time. They don't know he got fired on his day off. So they're like, oh, Rayner, like, yes. Oh, more coins? Sure.
Yeah.
We know you, Mr. White Man. This is some only white man material. Like, if this was a black person in the 90s, they would be checking your ID every day. Even if you came in every day, they'd be like, all right, Pamela, let's see some identification.
Truly. Like, the outlandishness of this story. Like, this is beyond my realm. Like, this is some Caucasian stuff.
Jojo said, I am out of my depth in this one. I am too.
Maybe one day. I don't know, but with the...
The way you said that, why you have to look up, like, Orphan Annie. Maybe one day.
With the progression in technology, I doubt anybody could pull this type of thing off again. But yes, this is definitely in the 90s. This is a very Caucasian man.
So Signet knew Rayner's right from the previous situation. So this is where we are. Still, there was one last pitch. Like, there was one last thing that they had to do to get this bank to give them this money. So Signet required a certificate from Philip Morris authorizing Rayner's to conduct business on the company's behalf. They required the document to have a company seal, an executive signature, the works. But, like, okay, it's the 90s. You just asking for a piece of paper.
Right.
Like, I can go get a piece of paper for you. Like,
But it was the 90s. It might have been more difficult to find somebody to print that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
My mama had a rubber stamp with her signature, and I would wipe the corners off and stamp all my detentions with it.
Oh, my gosh. Hilarious.
You've been scamming since elementary.
Listen, okay. I was constantly tardy, as we discussed earlier. I would get detentions for being late. They were like, Lacey, how are you late to all your classes? You're inside the same building. I was like, you know, I'll be making my rounds.
Taking your time. It's okay, though. Truly. It's okay.
Truly. So now they got to figure out how they're going to get this stamp and this piece of paper, right? Cool.
Yeah.
So they were able to find a place where they could forge the seal with little question, but ran into difficulty obtaining the sign-off from a Philip Morris executive. They found their solution when, during a cab ride uptown, they were listening to the radio station and they announced a prize for like a certain number caller. Having found the means, they picked their target, an assistant corporate.
Oh, it was taken to the turn real quick. I was like, assassin?
I can't read. Okay. So, having found the means, they picked their target, an assistant corporate secretary named Diana McAdams, who was a little known enough not to, like, set off too many alarms. So they found somebody working at somebody's desk, getting coffee and stuff, and they said, her.
Yeah.
So the men posed as employees of the radio station offering the prize, dinner at an expensive Manhattan restaurant called McAdams, under the premise that she won. In order to claim the prize, she needed to sign the release and send it back to them. Wow. So basically, they were like, hey, sis, bring, bring, it's us from the radio. what station you ask? WSCAM. Yeah. So yeah. You won a prize. All you need to do is send us your signature, and then we're going to send you the prize. And so this is how they obtain a signature.
Wow. They was like, who is not the brightest?
It's dang. Like, why do you need to sign something? They can't just mail you the gift card. Why you got to sign something?
Girl, it worked. Hey, sometimes, that's why it's just like, sometimes you just need to throw spaghetti up there and see what stick, you know, see? Because she did it. She was like, I want that prize.
I mean, she did. She sold out her company for the prize with haste. She was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. But the thing that's funny to me is that, like, this worked. Like, it's kind of like that Trojan horse thing of, like, they probably did. I wonder if they mailed her an actual gift card, or did they just take her signature and leave her high and dry?
I doubt they went the extra step to mail the gift card, because then that's just... Nah, we good. Now we can keep it pushing.
Yeah. I feel like I would have mailed the gift card, because you never know. People be petty. You don't mail the gift card, maybe she gonna start looking into y'all. I don't know.
Oh, true. True.
People be real petty. So McAdams bought it, and with that, Ruffo and Rainers had everything they needed to force the certificate for the bank. And Signet assumed that the signature was an executive signature, which is crazy to me, because then it's like, why don't y'all just sign it yourself as somebody else? Like, I guess. So yeah. It's... I guess that's risky, too, though, because, like, if you don't sign it correctly, then it's all over real quick. And if they work with those people a lot, then they might know.
Yeah, they got a lot of money.
And back in the 90s, I feel like everybody thought that they were, like, a calligrapher and a handwriting analyst. Like, that was...
Everybody could do it.
Because signatures were really all we had. We didn't have, like, thumbprints. You couldn't, like, pull down your pants and show, you know, Facebook your booty hole and then get access to your contacts.
Like, that's true. That's true,
this
though.
This is all relatively new. So I guess back then everybody was like, this doesn't curve like it did in this one.
Damn, Lacey, you won't even realize you just exposed the conspiracy that I've been considering for a while. And that's that. The world is trying to transition us into, like, being able to keep track of our fingerprints and, like, because think about it. How, they don't even teach kids cursive no more. And a lot of times we don't even sign stuff. And then we do a lot of e-signing stuff. Like, they'll suggest your signature to you. Like, if you sign a contract now, they'd be like, do you like this?
Is this one cute? How about these initials?
Right. What about this one?
We had it saved. Oh, yeah. DocuSign had all my signatures now. They're like, and which ones would you like this evening, Lacey?
Nah. Fuck DocuSign. I'm sorry. Let me tell you how I want my signature to look. You ain't finna volunteer my signature to me.
But now you can't switch it up. I went to Bank of America, and I guess I had put a little flair on my signature in years past. Yeah. And they were like, who is this? They were like, they made me keep writing my signature over and over again. And then eventually I had to just reinstate a new signature.
Oh, wow. You couldn't copy it? What's going on with you?
That was good. Look, I am not an artist, okay? There's certain things about it that are the same. But they were getting nitpicky.
You didn't remember that time in your life? Oh, okay.
So it was like something they'd be like, oh, the Y is too wide. Like,
oh, no, they were doing too much.
Yeah, I think they were trying to play with me. Now that I think about it, maybe that was a scam. Because I was like, why am I in here signing? Like, I feel like I'm in fifth, like in elementary school, sitting here on the bubbles, trying to make the bubbles work. But no, JoJo, you're right. We are as a society moving towards more stealth, like, well, I guess more secure technology, but also technology that requires us to give up more of our information. However, like, when people are like, it's always the people to me who are, like, the least interesting, who are worried about putting, like, foil on their heads and shit. I'm like, what does the government need from you, Tanya?
Right.
You
live in middle America. That's my mama name. That's my mama name.
I wasn't thinking of
pick another name.
I really cannot. I can't do you. I can't. Okay. Yeah, another hypothetical name for a tangent. Yeah. Fine, JoJo. JoJo's like, killing me today. So, all right. As soon as Signet received the certificate, $25 million was wired to Ruffo's bank account, all without the bank contacting anyone to verify their story. This is likely due to the sheer amount of money these loans made the bank. The bankers looked at 2% fee from the loan in addition to interest payments that Ruffo and Brainer always made sure to pay. So basically, the bank was like, oh, we got the bag. And then, you know, instead of calling just to make sure that everybody at Philip Morris was, like, a part of this, they were like, oh, no, just run it up.
Wow.
We want our interest. We want our 2% commission. We want to go to steak dinner tonight. And
wow. But they had to really believe in the mission to sign over that type of money. They was like, man, these men must have been selling a real good little PowerPoint presentation.
Right. The power was pointing, okay?
The power, like, listen, they sold it.
Right. They must have had a hand clicker. It was probably before their time. They were before, like, they had a hand clicker.
They had to be. Because how do you convince somebody to sign you back in the 90s $32 million without,
Well, this is $25 million, and it's going to get worse. So over the next 3 years, Ruffo and Reiners continue to convince 7 more foreign and domestic banks to loan them over $350 million. Reiners said in the NBC News interview in 1999, I had a harder time getting a home mortgage than I had getting these loans. Reiner threw his money as planned into stocks, as well as a Trump Tower penthouse apartment. How's that working out for you?
Yeah, right.
No, that investment ain't paying off.
Not at all.
Ruffo, on the other hand, stayed in the same two-story attached house in Queens he moved into with his wife, Linda, over a decade before. So he kept it low-key. So you said that I would be the flash one. You would stay in the Queens house.
Yeah.
So unbeknownst to even his wife, Ruffo had stashed his millions in offshore accounts. This was likely a wise decision, as in March 1996, the scheme began to fall apart. So he put his money, you know, in the Caymans. He put it, you know, in the Swedish bank accounts.
He was smart.
So a Japanese banking executive at a long-term credit bank of Japan decided the documents related to one of the loan accounts were a little suspicious and worth another look. So now people are like, somebody comes in, does a little audit. They were like, hey guys, the math ain't mathing. Literally on this one. So the executive faxed a copy of the forged incumbency certificate to Miss McAdams for verification. So remember, Miss McAdams was the girl who won the Manhattan dinner from the radio station in exchange for her signature. Remember?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm still curious as to if they mailed her the certificate ever.
Right. Don't sound like it. Because what's she about to do?
Let's see. She replied the same day and confirmed that the document was fake, that Reiners no longer worked for Philip and Morris, and that she was only a secretary and never would have had the authority to sign such paperwork in the first place.
A woman scorned.
Should have gave her that gift card.
Should have gave him that gift card.
See, that's why you can't leave ends loose like that, okay? Because people are petty.
And you know what? You know where I thought this story was going to go in the beginning? I thought they was going to get her in on it. You got to put somebody in on it. You got to, you know, y'all being selfish. Y'all could have gave her a meal and she would have been good. She would have been at work, chilling every day.
But, right. You know, and then she got that confirmation, like, you're... But at the same time, like, you know, let's see. So they had one of Riffo's employees, a single mother from New Jersey named Jody Bachman, pose as Mrs. McAdams, though they pitched it to her as another secret project for Philip Morris. So they're going to trick this woman into playing a secretary to trick these men, which is a lot.
Oh, wow.
So this ultimately meant that she could claim lack of culpability as she had no actual knowledge of the wrongdoing. The meeting was a sting. And when Rayner and Miss Bachman showed up at the Philip Morris office, Ruffo had the good sense not to go. FBI swooped in and arrested both of them. Oh, okay. So now I'm getting what happened. So what happened was, is Philip Morris reached out to Miss McAdams, the secretary, and they said, "Hey, sis, is this you? This you? This is your signature? Did you want $25 million? And she said, "Oh, no, that's not me. Don't know the girl." And then furthermore, we remember that McAdams was the one, right, who didn't get the gift card. I'm pretty sure she didn't get the gift card. So she not going to be helping.
Yeah, she didn't. Mm-mm.
So the FBI were immediately called in and the bank contacted Rayner for answers. So now the bank is, this is very white, because if $25 million has been removed in a shady manner, I feel like you don't call the people first, like, "Hey, Rayner."
Yeah, like.
This is going to be crazy. I know it's going to be crazy. I know I hate to bother you during dinner.
Right.
Yeah. So, we just got off the phone with the B and the I. Yeah, they're just saying, you know, Eric, I know you. I know you're a good guy. Yeah. They're just saying the signature that we have, it's from someone who's, like, not authorized. So, you know, I just thought that was crazy because I know, like, you're always good for it, Rayner. So, yeah. Oh, you're going out of the country tomorrow. Oh, well, have a good time. Call me when you get back. What are y'all doing? Show up to his house?
And listen, and scene. That was amazing. First of all, I pictured that whole scene happening, and that's exactly how it went down. Because guess what? He was given the benefit of the damn doubt, which is crazy. This man.
I just feel like that's too much benefit. That's way too much benefit of the doubt.
$25 million mean they just got too much money.
Right. But also, I bet you, because they have a vested interest, too. When you're talking about the 2% interest and you're also talking about the interest fees, you know, accruing. So, like, they have, or commission, rather, 2% commission and the interest they have accruing, they have a dog in the fight, too. So maybe they don't want it to be fake. Maybe they want him, you know, to be able to pay.
Damn, especially if. Girl, imagine the day you think you had if you go home thinking you secured a $25 million investment loan on a great project that was with Philip and Morris. You know what I'm saying? You probably going to go have some drinks. You're going to celebrate. So, yeah, you called them back. You be like, "Come on, man, please. Please don't tell me. I know they tripping because I know we talked about it. And you said what you said, and I had said what I said, and we both agreed that this was a good idea."
I love that mine was very, like, Chip and Scott, and yours was very, like, in a relationship. Like, you were like, "Please don't tell me this is true, because we talked about this.
Please, come on, man. I know it's them and not you, because I know you." He's like, no. It's him.
I feel like they're both two sides of the same coin, though. I'm like, "Oh, buddy, yes. I know you'd never do this to me, buddy."
This was his inner voice. The voice you used was the voicemail.
Right.
That's this is being recorded.
But inside, he's like really getting emotional. He's Come on, man.
Come on, now. This off the strip. That you was telling the truth. God damn, I got a family. I got kids, bro. Please don't tell me that.
Bro, that's why banks should be doing loans off the strength. Okay, nah, it's like, exactly. We gotta do the most to get a damn loan. White man come in and it's just like a handshake at a cigar bar.
This is why we need a rainbow of representation in all levels of management and ownership.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So, they are backed into a corner, but Ruffo's not stupid. He has a feeling that something is up. So what they do is they tell one of their employees, a single mother, which, like, first of all, how y'all gonna get a single mother who works two jobs and loves her kids and never stops with a gentle hand and the heart of a fighter, a survivor? How y'all gonna rope her in to y'all's scheme?
Ruthless.
She got to take care of them kids. If she get locked up, what's going on?
Listen,
so she's from New Jersey.
Kids.
And her name is Jody Bachman. So they had her pose as Miss McAdams. Remember, the scoring secretary who never got her gift card.
Uh-huh.
Though they pitched it to her as another secret project for Philip Morris. So basically, they pitched her like, hey, you're doing a secret job for us for Philip Morris. But really, they were sending her as a decoy to walk into an FBI sting. And she's a single mom who works too hard and loves her kids and never stops.
Damn.
They ain't right.
I mean, you know, it sucks for anybody that ain't. But that's messed up. Where the kids gonna go?
So what they are saying ultimately was, is that she could claim lack of culpability because she actually had no knowledge of wrongdoing. So they were like, yeah, we sending you into an FBI sting, but you actually don't know what's going on. So it's cool. Like, you're going to be good. They're going to arrest you a little bit. They are going to put your head on the pavement. But
wow. It's like, yeah, but first I got to prove I don't know anything. How do you prove that ain't nothing in my mind?
Well, you're going to spend a few hours down at the station. They got coffee. They got good cop. They got bad cop.
Oh, man. I'm at, like, first of all, people act like it ain't nothing when they inconvenience you. It's like, you inconveniencing my time, bro. I got to deal with the government, or like you get hit or something like that. And they like, I got insurance. But yes, you got insurance. But now I got to deal with your insurance. That's time. Right. That's an investment of my energy.
I love how being arrested for, like, basically, like, being entrapped is, like, a mild inconvenience for you.
Yeah, you know.
like, you wasted my time. Now I got to go down to the jailhouse, take photos.
I feel like with my wit and charm, I'll be out in 24.
My wit and charm. Oh, Lord. So the meeting was a sting, obviously. And when Rainer and Miss Bachman showed up at the Philip Morris office, Rufo had the good sense not to come. The FBI swooped in and arrested both of them. So Rainer kind of low-key sold out Rufo because he didn't tell Rufo that he thought it was a sting.
Wow.
So, Rainer was charged with a number of crimes, including bank fraud and money laundering, and was ultimately sentenced to 16 years and 10 months in prison. Wow, murderers get less time.
16 months and how much?
16 years and 10 months in prison.
Wow.
And when you fuck with white people's money, then they're like, throw the book at them.
You can't mess with the bank. They like, right. Oh, no.
But you, God forbid, you're just like a police officer who kills someone. You'll get way less time. Like, 16 years?
Isn't stuff like that based off of how much you took, too? Like, if they had taken less money.
It's, like, counts and, like, so it's, So, it's not even just how much he's taken. It's also, like, how many counts of, like, different crimes did he do. You know what I mean? So, there's the fraud.
And you had to do a lot of crimes.
Like, yeah, you do a lot of crimes to get over $350 million. So, charges against Miss Bachman were dropped eventually. So, they did get our girl, our single mom, back to her kids, okay? Now, they were probably at home crying out alone on the bedroom floor because they was hungry.
Stress.
But she got back to them. So it took a year to arrest John Rufo, and when they finally did, March 1997, he was indicted on 160 counts of bank fraud and money laundering. His bond was set at $10 million. Somehow he was able to convince six sets of family members to offer their homes as collateral. Wow.
Six? Man, I need to read this dude's book. He got a book or something? He is just...
Right. You better convince six separate people's families?
Not only that. But to get to where you are right now, he's had to convince somebody to give him the money. Mm-hmm. Somebody, he had to convince homie to do it with him. Like, it's just, It's so many people. He had the gift of gab. I'm going to have to look this dude
He up. Offshored his money, too. Remember,
he's
like.
Smart.
Yeah, like, Rainer was putting his money back in the stock market, which is essentially gambling. And Rufo put his in offshore accounts and, like, where it was inaccessible to the U.S. So, like, and remember, he didn't move out of his house in Queens, and he stayed with his original wife. You know, we'd love to see it.
Yeah, we'd love to see. I like Rufo.
So, at his sentencing, Rufo was given 17 and a half years in prison. As he was put in handcuffs and being led out of the courtroom, Rufo's lawyer announced the prosecutor agreed to a deal that would allow Rufo to self-surrender when his sentence started 5 weeks later. So talk about privilege. He walked out. They said 17 years. And they said, okay, but it don't start for real.
For five weeks.
So I'm going to go home. Yeah. But don't worry. I'll be back.
Don't worry about it. What day? What's the day? Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Not what's the day? What's okay, the day no. Put it in my calendar, and I'm gonna put it in my calendar. I'm gonna be back. I'm gonna be back to do the little jail, to do the bid. Okay.
Yeah, I got millions offshore, but don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about none of that. I got six people willing to put their house on the line if I have a flight risk, but don't worry about that.
Don't worry about that.
So the judge was incredulous, but upon confirmation with the prosecutor, agreed, and Rufo was allowed to be a free man till November 9th, 1998. On one morning, November 9th, Rufo dropped his wife off at the train station headed into the city. He then stopped at an ATM in Queens, and he bought a ticket in cash at JFK International Airport and vanished. He's not been seen since. Damn. That's kind of romantic, because he could have vanished, like, right away. He waited until the last day, dropped his wife off, gave her a strong Christian hug, maybe a kiss with some tongue.
Where's his wife, though? She went to meet him.
And then they disappeared.
They just couldn't go together. She had to go meet him.
She there's no way they would allow her to, like, because if she disappeared, then I think she would also be, like, culpable, right? It's like, she got to stay. So before even returning home that evening, Linda received a call from the FBI and they were screaming at me. She said, "Where is John Rufo?" She said the blood rushed down my body and my face turned to ice. So she didn't even know when he dropped her off at the train that he was about to be gone, girl.
But hold up. She didn't know what day he was supposed to go to jail.
She did. Maybe she thought, here's my thing. Was he just going to drive to jail on his own?
Yeah, that's what I'm just like. Who taking the car home after?
Like, we got questions.
It's holes in this story. What? Rufo is about himself, though. I wonder what his sign is. Probably cancer.
We should figure it out. At home, she found a suicide note that neither she nor the FBI believed. Damn. They didn't believe your suicide note?
Dang, bro. They said, we need teeth. We need a body.
Right. Rufo was like, I cannot take it no more. I love you all. Goodbye. It was like, this is just a Marilyn Monroe quote from one of those meme pages. This is not a note.
This is the real note.
This is what he said. He said, sincerely, definitely from me. I'm definitely dead, but don't look for me because I'm dead somewhere you'll never find.
Oh, wow. So he was a Sagittarius.
Was he really? Okay, that means he loves to travel. So this is great for him.
Oh, my goodness.
Running from the law is actually what I said Sagittarius should be doing. So.
Oh, wow. See, he's living his dream.
Yes. So nobody believed that he actually died. After Rufo vanished, the government went after his family and friends for any information on his whereabouts. The family put up their houses for bond, most of whom were in their 70s and 80s, were forced out of their homes.
Oh, man.
Rufo's own mother died shortly after, alone in a nursing home.
Oh, man.
Okay, Rufo. Do we think that Rufo broke these people off with some coin in exchange for their houses as collateral?
It don't sound like it.
Damn, that's messed up. If he really got six people to, like, hold him down and then he left them all homeless. I don't ever think about the other side of bond. Like, if they do decide to run off on you and then you just lose all your money because you were their friend.
Exactly. Oh, no. Not only do you lose your money, you are now, like, you're saying I'm accountable for this person. Like, wow. I don't know. I don't think you got to go do daytime or nothing like that. I just think I don't really know what happens, but I know you probably get in trouble because it's kind of like you're saying I'm their guardian. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what happens to,
because I know that they take your collateral, but I don't know if there's anything like penalizing beyond that. But I am like, damn, that's so fucked up. Like, but I guess that also like gives the government that like there's another incentive for somebody else to be looking for this motherfucker other than us.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
If you want your house back, you better find your friend.
Absolutely. I can't believe he did that. Rufo is definitely the type of person that acts and thinks only in the moment. And for himself.
So, I mean, you know, they're both a little shady. Helen Fahey, the former U.S. Attorney General, we're getting to the end of this, for the Eastern District of Virginia, which was prosecuting the case, said he did this huge, huge fraud with this wild, wild scheme. Why all kinds of people didn't pick up on it? You gotta be kidding me. Where are the accountants? Where was literally anyone with a brain? Where were you? U.S. attorney?
Yeah.
Right.
All so, you got is criticize.
Right. When you point out, you got what, three fingers pointed back at you? Is that what right. they say?
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, regarding his bail, obviously, in retrospect, the government should have screamed bloody murder that, and it should have been revoked. Rufo is still at large with a $25,000 reward for any information related to his captive or his capture. So that's U.S. Marshals, like, top 15 most wanted list since 2000. We'll put that in the
Where
bio.
Where he at? Which one is he?
If you want to find him and maybe try to get the bag.
Oh.
Okay. You know what? Rufo, now that he's in his older age, literally looks like any old man who works at a bodega.
Any
he's probably
man.
In a bodega near you. Like
any man. Anybody. Ain't no telling.
Right. Or he's in Italy. I wonder. He got a whole new family, though. He's definitely got a whole new life.
Oh, he definitely got a whole new life. Because wherever he is, he got money.
He's believed to have stashed away $8 million, likely living overseas.
Oh, wow. See, I believe it. And the thing is, he's already cool with living low-key. So right. it ain't like he gonna ever blow that. He probably somewhere with a one-bedroom house. Like, all I need is a roof over my head, and I don't want to be locked in a cage.
Come on, Rufo.
Come on,
Rufo. You know what? The simple things in life. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements, and we'll be back with the saddest part of the show, the end, where I have to let JoJo go.
Robbery!
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
We're back, and it's time for the saddest part of the show. I have to let JoJo go. But before we go, let's do Scammer of the Week. This is where we highlight an honorary charlatan, group criminals. And, you know, maybe they are honorary. Maybe we hate them. We'll see. But today we're talking about a con artist posing as Colin Firth, who scammed three Italian women out of thousands of pounds. Okay, can I get a picture of Colin Firth up? Because I feel like Colin Firth is one of those white men that you definitely could pretend. There's like six white men in Hollywood right now who have this exact same face.
Mm-hmm. He looks familiar, but
he don't look that familiar to me.
He looks like a director. He doesn't really look like
an
actor.
Yeah, that's not Colin Firth. I thought Colin Firth was the one who used to wear the beanies in the hot L.A. weather. Mm. Is that Colin?
The King's Speech. What did he play?
Oh, the King's Speech was good.
Oh, okay. Okay, he looks familiar now without the glasses and, you know.
Yeah, okay. That's what I remember him from. Because I did watch the King's Speech. Okay, Colin. Mm. Sorry, we're going to put some respect on your name, Colin. Mm-hmm. Sorry. So this guy is not even Colin Firth. It's someone who's pretending to be him. I could see how somebody could pretend to be like an older Colin Firth for sure.
Yeah.
So the scam began in May when a man posing as Mr. Firth contacted one of the women on social media after seeing photos of her. Her two sisters were also fooled, and soon all three were eagerly messaging him. So wait a minute. You got the sisters turning against each other too, because now they all think they're talking to Colin Firth. And none of them mentioned it to each other in the group chat. Like,
wow. Yeah.
Who are you talking sisters? To? Colin Firth? Like, what?
Right. What?
So he was said to have resembled the actor on video calls and mimicked his posh accent. Once they were regularly messaging, the scammer told the woman he was creating a website and needed financial support. Okay, there's like Squarespace, you know, like it's like I feel like if you need to create a website, it's not GoDaddy.
They'll walk you through it.
Right. I don't think it's that expensive. The sisters sent him almost 3,000 pounds, which is about 4,000 U.S. dollars, in three separate bank transfers. So, okay, I will say at least it was three separate transfers. So it's like he got them all for like a little bit. But still, 1,000 pounds to build a website, bro?
But like, it's like, why would Colin Firth need you to send him money for a website? Think about it. Just think, girl.
Right.
It's listen, three, y'all. They must have been, like, in brand or something. Cause
look at what we had to do, though. We was like, oh, Colin Firth. And then we had to look. And then we had to find a movie from a while ago to recognize him. So maybe we were like, Colin Firth, maybe he on hard times right now. But he's still Colin Firth. He still got that D. Like, you know.
Hey, who knows? Yeah, don't be making assumptions. You're right.
Because acting is one of those careers where, like, you could be very famous and very broke at the same time if you're not responsible with your money. Because we don't get paid, like, normal, regular checks like everybody else unless you're, like, on a job.
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta budget.
And they say he looked like him on video chat, so...
That's crazy. And, that's weird. That's almost creepy.
Mm-mm. Right. But they say there's at least six people in the world who look exactly like you.
You know?
Just statistics-wise.
Six people?
At least six.
You know what's so crazy? It was a girl in the crowd at a basketball game I was at. My friend was like, that little girl look like you. And it was the first time in my life. And I was like, damn, she does look like me. She looked like she'd be my little sister. But... I ain't gonna talk to her or nothing. That would have been weird. Like, hey, little girl, you look like me.
Hey, listen, you might have need her prints or her info one day.
Something, right. But you know, you gotta really wait till both everybody is an adult because people be changing. Right.
That's true. That's very true. So with increased confidence, the scammer then told the sisters that he bought them cars as gifts, but needed $25,000 to get them through customs. So now he's doing the Nigerian scam on them of like, I got all this money. If you wire me the taxes and fees, basically, then you can have this thing. Like, you can have these cars, just got to give me the taxes and fees. Why couldn't you pay for the taxes and fees?
Right.
Why do I have to incur a $25,000 debt because you want to give me a gift? Make it make sense.
Make it make sense.
So anyway, luckily at this point, the bank got suspicious of the behavior and tracked where the payments were being sent to. So they sent them. Wow. The receiving account ended up being featured on a blacklist. The police are currently attempting to discover the culprit's identity. So they haven't found Colin Firth. He's probably still out here on FaceTime with, I bet you he rubbed some baby oil on the camera.
What?
Before he get on FaceTime.
They have not found this man?
No.
Wow.
He's a little filter on.
He probably don't look nothing like Colin Firth in real life.
At all.
That's crazy.
But listen, I love that for him. He put a little baby on the camera. He said, it's his eye, Colin Firth. So. You
know, it's so many scams out here. Sometimes it's like, you know, if you are dumb enough to get scammed,
now, we don't say dumb enough on this show because we can all get scammed. I get scammed. You were with me on the boat scam with sweaty ass Pablo.
We all get scammed. But that was a blatant, like, I mean, I just ain't never sent nobody no money. I just ain't doing that. But, you know, everybody's in a different season in their life. And just
that's true. Now, I do think that we should all get out of the season of I met a stranger. We did some blurry FaceTimes and he told me to give him $25,000 for some taxes and fees. Like, we should know better than that. But, you know, that's what this podcast is for. So we always ask JoJo, where do you want to be found? What's coming up? What do we need to be looking out for? Where can we find you online?
So, online, you can find me on my Instagram, JoJo T. Gibbs. You know, ain't nothing really happening on there right now, but you know, life about to start popping. So, you know, I might get back on Instagram and do stuff. Instagram is, anyway, that's neither here nor there. JoJo T. Gibbs on Instagram, also on Twitter. I have a film coming out probably sometime next year called Fresh. It's a social thriller co-starring Daisy Edgar Jones and Sebastian Stan. I also, of course, am the lead, co-lead on 20s, which is our show that is going to be coming out on BET and Showtime. I don't know if I can officially announce the release date yet.
Okay, well, we'll stay tuned. We can go on your Insta.
Coming this fall. That's what I'll say. Yes,
season two of 20s. I'm so excited.
Yes, season two of 20s coming this fall. I'm so excited. You guys are going to love this season. I had an amazing time on set every single day, so I'm just really happy about seeing what they put together. And I know it's a lot of people that are, you know, excited to see what comes next, too. So.
Including me. I'm so excited. I, like, devoured the first season. It was so good. You're so good.
Thank you.
And as always, guys, if you want to snitch on your friends and family, scamguyspod@gmail.com. Just make sure your fam is retired so we don't want to fuck up your bag. Yes. If you want to find me, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey on all platforms. iCarly streaming now on Paramount Plus. A Black Lady Sketch Show is streaming in full on HBO Max. Give us 5 stars. Help a sister out. And to celebrate 100 episodes, we're doing 30% off on Pod Swag right now. So go ahead and scam your merch and your pod merch right now. 30% off using offer code SCAM30. Get into it. All right, congregation, stay scheming. Scam Goddess!
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. It's produced by Judith Cargbo, engineered by Marina Pais, and researched by Kaylin Brandt. Stay scheming!
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.